Edius, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, 4-7. We continue with the Machlokos between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is the Machmir. Our Mishnah here has three separate disagreements, all relating to marriage and divorce procedures. The first part of the Mishnah talks about effecting marriage through what's called Kesef of Kiddushin, and this echoes what's already printed in the first Mishnah, Maseches Kiddushin. The backstory is as follows. Marriage in Jewish law happens in two distinct stages. The first essentially is legal marriage, whereas the second is kind of functional marriage. The first is called Kiddushin, or Erusin, and the second is called Nisuin. Now, Kiddushin, what it essentially means is that the woman is set aside and she's a married woman in as much as she's forbidden to everybody else. So a woman has certain rights. The person is allowed to be married to her, to live with her as a wife, and she can give those rights to whomever she wants. Once she transfers those rights to another man, so then she becomes off limits to everybody else who can't have those rights and can't live with her. She's an Eishes Ish, or someone would sleep with her. That's the violation of Eishes Ish, penalty potentially of it's a capital crime. And if she wants to marry somebody else now, she'll need to get a get or have the husband die. Even though they are essentially married, legally married, they're not functionally married, I mean, they're not living together. And in fact, they're not even allowed, Midrabanan, to live together until they get brachos and do what's called chuppah, which essentially means they live together like husband and wife. Okay, now the first stage, Kiddushin, there's a transfer of these marriage rights. Now, although this really is confusing. Whenever you do a transfer of rights in Jewish law, those could be ownership rights, but they could be other kinds of rights or obligations. So you need a formal act that effects that transaction, that transfers those rights and obligations. And that act, the proprietary act, is called a kinyan, or really technically a maisa kinyan, an act that effects this transaction, if you will. A woman who accepts kesef kedushin, effecting the kinyan of kedushin, is not being purchased, like you purchase something in the store. She remains her autonomous person in every way, but she transfers those rights to another man. Okay. You may have seen this done in other, whenever you appoint someone to be your shaliach, or you accept a responsibility for some undertaking, like a tanaim for marriage or something like that. So then you need to also do a maisa kinyan, do some proprietary act. You'll see people sort of like will lift up a handkerchief or a pen or a kippah or something, and that says, yes, I'm formally being makabel kinyan, I'm transferring those rights, I'm effecting this transaction. It's not about owning anything, it's about transferring rights. So that's happening as well when it comes to ishus, marriage. The husband isn't buying the wife in any way, but he is becoming the sole owner of the rights to be her husband. Okay? So now, there are three different modes the Mishnah enumerates in Kiddushin, by which one, three different Maisa Kinyanim, different acts you could do that would effect that transfer. Each one of them has to be clearly done for the sake of effecting that transfer, right? So you say, Harat Mekudesh Lib, you're going to be married to me through this, let's say the ring that I'm giving you, or the star, whatever the act is that you're doing. And then the woman essentially accepts that that money, let's say, or star, whatever it is, and then she becomes now Mekudesha, she becomes a married woman, and Eishes Ish, and the husband owns those marriage rights. Now, one of the three ways you can transfer marriage rights is through what's called Kesef or Shava Kesef. That means essentially for value. Kesef means money, a store of value. Shava kesef means something of value. The minig nowadays is to use something of value, namely a ring. Okay, but you could use actual just a coin or any object of value for that matter. Now, the same kind of way you're transferring the handkerchief or the kippah or the pen, and it's not about the pen. This is a mechanism. So it's not really about the ring or about the money. Okay, anything will do. Just the woman formally accepts this item of value, and exchange transfers those rights. And as long as it's something that is money or equal to money, it works. It's based on a limud from Psukim. Avram Avinu acquired land for a burial plot for Sarah from Ephron Nachiti, and he. The expression, the pasuk there tells kach mimeni, an expression of kicha, of taking, and he used money for that. And similarly, when the pasuk that gives the mitzvah of doing the mitzvah of kedushin, it says ki yikach ish isha, also a lashon of expression of kicha, of taking. So there's a gezeirah shava which equates them, that says one of the legal mechanisms that can effect kedushin is kesef, money, or shava kesef, something of value. Now, anything will do. So it doesn't matter how much. So really, mida oraisa, even the smallest coin that there is, called a pruta, would work. However, base shamai say, no, we don't want it to give the impression that Jewish women are hefker. We don't want to be mezalzel to deprecate them. And therefore, we don't use something that's essentially is worthless or almost worthless. We want something of at least some reasonable value. And therefore, if the question is how much kesef or shava kesef value must be traded hands in order to effect the kinyan of ishus, Beis Hillel are going to say any amount will do, even a pruta or a shava pruta, something even worth a pruta being the smallest coin that there is. Whereas a Beis Shammai say no, it has to be a dinar or a shava dinar. A dinar is worth 192 times more than a pruta. Okay, so it's not a lot of money, but it's not just some any old thing will do, as opposed to the pruta, which is essentially the smallest coin, any old thing will do. Pruta, in fact, is a copper coin, but it's worth, as we'll see in the Mishnah, ultimately boiled down to being worth half of a single barley grain of silver, whereas the dinar is worth 92 grains of silver. Now, that's the backstory here. The Mishnah says inside, Ha'isha miskadeshes bedinar uveshava dinar kedivri Beis Shammai. As far as Beis Shammai is concerned, if you're going to effect kedushin, you have to use something of significant value, and therefore either a dinar coin or something worth a dinar must be used, or else she's not yet mekudeshes. That'll be a lenient opinion, in contrast to Beis Hill's opinion, which is Beis Hill omrim befruta uveshava fruta. They says a simple pruta is enough. The reason why is because Beis Hill say, listen, anything of any coin, any value will be, as long as it's of value, it'll work. Obviously, if you can buy, it's like the equivalent of like an American penny, let's just say. Something like that. That's the smallest coin, if you know what I mean. So the point is, if it's a coin, it'll work. A penny is also, a penny is money like anything else. And it works. Obviously, even Beis Hill will say, if you can buy, two gumballs for a penny, one gumball won't do it. Okay, but if you can use anything that costs a penny or more, fine. That's going to be the strict opinion, because that means if a man gives a woman a single pruta and says, "Hare mekudeshali bepruta zu," and she accepts it, so now according to Beis Hill, strict opinion, she needs a get. Someone sleeps with her, that's eishes ish. Whereas Beis Hill, that's Beis Hill's opinion. Beis Shammai is lenient and says, "No, they're not married. She can marry somebody else. There's no consequences. Someone sleeps with her, really." So you see, that's the lenient opinion. Okay, says the Mishnah, "V'chama hi pruta." How much is a pruta? Echad mishmona be'isar italki. It's an eighth of this very small silver coin called the isar ha'italki, which is worth 4 grains of, grains of barley weight of silver. So if an eighth of that means a half a grain. Okay, that's the first case of the Mishnah. Now the next case of the Mishnah, like a new topic altogether, this is a topic in Maseches Gittin, Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet. And it's talking about something called a get yashan. Get yashan means an outdated or old get. Get, of course, the bill of divorce that a man must give a woman to effect the severance of their marriage. Now, the get yashan is something very specific. It means that the date of the get is earlier. It predates the last time the husband and wife were alone together. Okay? So the idea is that once you decided to give a get, then they shouldn't be alone anymore. The concern is that if the get would predate the last time they were together, it could be, even years could pass. A husband could write a get in year one, not delivered to his wife. She has a baby in year two, and then he gives her that old get in year three. Okay, and the date of the get, the signatories, whatever stories is from back in year one, and people will say, "Whoa, look at this. The debt," in the future, they'll say, "Listen, here's the kid that was born. The kid was born after the date of the get. This child was born out of wedlock," and that's called a pagam. It's like just a blemish on his lineage. It's not really more than that. And really, of course, in fact, nothing at all happened, because really the child was born in wedlock. Just the documentation makes it look like the child was born out of wedlock, or the woman wasn't married when she got pregnant, and that's just not nice. Okay, that's, we want to avoid the impression of not nice, so we don't limit his shidduch prospects later on in life, the child's shidduch prospects. So therefore, because of that, we're going to say that lacharchila, there's a din, the rabbanim, which says even though the get yashan is effective as a get in theory, in practice, if it's dated before the last time they were living together, we may not use it, according to Beis Hillel anyways, because we're concerned of a baby being born after the date, or at least, you know, within 9 months of the date, and then it looks bad. So that's what the Mishnah says. Inside it says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Poter hu es ishto beget yashan. Beis Shammai say, yes, you may use a get yashan, an outdated get, a get that was written and is dated even before the last time we're living together. We're not afraid of her getting pregnant after that. Well, Beis Hillel Osrim, Beis Hillel say, no, you can't do that. Now the Mishnah defines, Egezu get yashan, what makes me get an outdated get? Kolshin is yachid ima achar shiksavula. Any time, any date which is written prior to the last time they were together alone. Okay, straightforward enough. Now, I just understand a little deeper here. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a different notion about when you're supposed to be giving a get, and that is part of the reason why Beis Shammai is not so concerned. Because Beis Shammai say you may not give a get, or you shouldn't give a get, to your wife, unless you find an ervas davar, something unseemly which suggests that she was infidelitous or she is leaning in that direction, okay? And the assumption is if the woman is dressing and behaving as if she's looking to be living with some other man, so the husband will find her kind of repugnant and want nothing more to do with her, and therefore rightly give her a get. The point is he's no longer interested in her because he finds her maguna, off-putting, okay? Now, Beis Hillel say no, you can give a wife a get for much lesser reasons, even if she doesn't, you know, do things the way you want. She burns your breakfast, burns your toast, burns your food, whatever, and the like, so then you can give her a get. If you have a good reason as that, which is not much of a reason, of course, you can divorce her. And therefore, there's no reason to think that a guy, you know, says, listen, you've burnt my lunch for the last time, that's the last straw, and he writes a get. Then he, you know, makes up with the wife. He doesn't give her the get. And then they live together for a couple of years. It's very reasonable they would live together, and they could have a baby. And then he, later on, says, you know, when she burns another meal or whatever it is, he could say, that really is the last straw, now give her the get. And Beis Hillel would be reasonably concerned that they could have a baby in the interim or she can get pregnant in the interim. Again, Beis Shammai says, no, people who give and gets want nothing more to do with their wives, period, and therefore they wouldn't have babies later on. Okay, that's what underpins that machlokas. Halacha again, of course, like Beis Hillel, so the point is, l'chachila, one should not use a get yashan. B'di'eved, if one did, it's effective. There's a discussion in the Nosei Kalim if it makes a difference if only if the husband is out of town and we can't get a new get from him or not, or those who make him do a new one, if we could. Okay, fine. The last case of the Mishnah here has to do with what happens if a man divorces his wife and then they're a divorced couple, but then they have to travel, you know, from whatever it is, from A to B, and they stay at some inn together, and essentially they have yichud, and they're witnesses that they have yichud. They were alone in the inn. So, the question ultimately is, does he need to give another get or not? So, the basic concern is as follows. Concern is, if they're married before, and now they're essentially living in a hotel room again, we might assume they go back to behaving like husband and wife. In which case, if to be married, you need to have two witnesses. But if we have two witnesses that they had yichud in the hotel, so it's perhaps safe to assume they were once again living together like husband and wife. And there's another assumption, which is, if a man and woman sleep together, for sure a person wants to do things right in a sanctified way, and he'd want that to be effective for reestablishing the marriage. We talked before how bia itself is a mode for effecting marriage, just like kesef is. So therefore, we'll assume, if it's safe to assume that they slept together, so then it's safe to assume that he wanted this to affect marriage, and therefore it's safe to assume they're once again married. And if you assume that, so then if she wants to marry somebody else, she'll need a new get. And that's Beis Hillel's opinion. At least Lahalachat's Misafik will be afraid they were together again, and therefore Misafik should need a new get if she wants to marry another person. Beis Shammai say no, just because even if they were in a hotel room by themselves overnight, who said anything more than that happened? You have no witnesses. The witnesses maybe saw them go into the hotel room, but that's not enough. Therefore, they're not married, and therefore, there's no reason to assume they slept together. Therefore, there's no reason to assume they're married, and therefore, there's no need to give her another get. That's the basic play out of the Mishnah. Inside, it says as follows, Hamagarish es ishto, if a man divorced his wife, and then after that, velana imo befundaki, After that, she spends the night with him in some kind of inn. Beishamai omrim, ein atzrichem emeno get sheni. Beishamai say, no need for a second get. Who's, even if we know they were sleeping together, they shared a room together, who said they slept together. And therefore, who said there's no reason to think they're married. On the other hand, Beisil omrim, tzrichem emeno get sheni. Beisil say, no, another get is now required. As I explained before, we assume if they shared a room together privately, we assume that they slept together, and if we assume they slept together, we assume they want that to affect marriage. And therefore, we have to assume, at least masafik, that she's a married woman. Eishes ish. Says the Mishnah, one proviso. A Messiah, when is this true? Bezmashin is Garsha min ha-nesuin. That assumes that they had been functionally married. They were living as a husband and wife, then they got divorced. So it's the assumption that Beis Hillel is making is they lapse back to their own ways. However, aval imnis Garsha min ha-erison. If they never actually were functionally married, they only were legally married. Erison, like Kedushin from the first part of the Mishnah, meaning he gave her a ring, but then, you know, that very same day, you know, he divorced her. So they never actually lived together. So then, ein atzrichim in a get sheni, there's no need to give her a second get, because mipnei she'ein libo gaspa. The point is that we will not assume that he's so comfortable with her that they actually were sleeping together just because they ended up having to be in the same hotel overnight, because they never lived together as man and wife before. So they're not like going back to their old ways. There are no old ways to go back to. The same as if a person ends up anytime, you know, being miyached with a woman, we don't automatically assume that they're married, okay? But if they were married before, we assume their marriage was intended to be resumed, and therefore, according to Beis Hillel, a new get is required, and halacha l'maisa, that is the din, you'll need a new get misafik, out of doubt, maybe they did end up getting remarried, if she's going to be marrying somebody new.